No Further Instructions, a performance by Howard Fishman with New York Times travel journalist and photographer Michael Beninov, gets underway at 8 o'clock on Friday night in the Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College. Howard will also perform at the Hudson Opera House on the 2nd and the Falcon on the 3rd. The program combines original music, historical memoir, storytelling, and compelling photography to share the duo's exploits and experiences as American Jews in rural Romania. Fishman began his musical career in the streets of New Orleans and the subways of New York before landing his first major engagement at the Algonquin's Oak Room in 1999. Since then, he has headlined in a number of top venues in the U.S. and abroad, including Lincoln Center, the Steppenwolf Theater, and the Blue Note. We welcome Howard Fishman to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's a delight to have you here. Give us a sense of how this whole project came together. How did No Further Instructions come about?
Michael Beninov is a childhood friend of mine, and he's always going to far-flung places to explore and write about them. And he was going to rural Romania and invited me to come along, and I happened to have a break in my performance schedule, and I was able to move some things around, and we were over there roughing it for about a month. And he came out of it with a book, and I came out of it with a cycle of songs, and we had some kind of crazy adventures there. And the show is him reading from his book, me playing the songs from the song cycle, which became the album of the same name, No Further Instructions, and him showing his amazing photography, and me playing with an 11-piece kind of punk orchestra, folk, jazz, whatever you want to call it.
Please define roughing it for me.
Roughing it meant that we walked and hitchhiked a lot, and we stayed in places. We were staying in places where there was no running water and no electricity, and basically in people's houses. There was no public housing or hotels or motels or anything like that. So we were really sort of trying to get our be part of the experience of actually living there as opposed to being tourists.
And that experience, did you find that a profound effect on what you ended up composing, what you ended up writing?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I went, it was really just on a lark, you know, because I hadn't spent time with Mike and traveling in that kind of way since we were kids. I didn't think I was going to come out of it with all these songs, but when I got back, I guess about a year went by where, you know, I was doing my thing as usual, and then all of a sudden these songs started coming out one by one about this trip, and that led to the making of the album.
Is there, I mean, you're both, Michael is writing about it, and you are, I mean, and you are in a sense as well. Are there overlaps there, as far as, because it was a shared experience, it would make sense that they blend very well. But I mean, musically, you were both doing this separately, but did you find an overlap when you were done?
Yeah, I think there is an overlap, and I think the show sort of shows that. We take turns, you know, I sing a song or play a song, and then he reads from the book, and then we both sort of narrate what's going on in the journey and talk about some of the crazy people that we met over there. And there is a lot of overlap. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Do you ever have like envy of, oh, he can do it in more words than I can. And he said, oh, you know, you could, you know, something like that. I mean, it would seem to, because
no.
of the forms that you've chosen.
No, because he doesn't get to have an 11-piece band.
There you go. You've got a posse.
That's right.
And working with that group, and how much is it important to explain to them this journey, or do they just feel it through the music?
Well, I think they feel it through the music, and they feel it through the lyrics. You know, the lyrics are very narrative and descriptive, and they, you know, they get it. I'd like to think they get it anyway.
What does travel do in the sense of, I mean, we can romanticize that to a point of traveling and going to a place. But was your mission defined in the beginning, or did it evolve along the way?
I mean, my mission at the start was just to go along with Mike, and it was really his trip, and he was going over there to research a book. But I think that travel, when we travel, it's important. It's an important thing to do. It's important to get outside of our everyday existence and the sort of mundane parts of our lives, which travel can do. And I think it's important to give us a perspective on our lives and where we are in the world, and to get away from that sort of minutia. I think it's a very important thing to do on a regular basis.
And what about Romania itself, do you think, played a major role in this? The fact that you ended up exploring experiences as American Jews in rural Romania.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't anticipate that the being Jewish part was going to have such a big role. You know, Mike was going over there to research the path that his grandparents took when, you know, they're Holocaust survivors and they were herded out of their homes, and he wanted to research that trail. So for him, it had a very, very specific Jewish element. For me, you know, I just figured, well, I'm an American, and being Jewish didn't really play into it until I got over there and experienced situations in which I was very careful not to say my last name and not to show my ID, and it was very clear that being Jewish was not something I wanted to advertise.
And does that put you on guard?
I mean, there were some scary moments. There were, you know, there was a guy who he didn't speak any English, but Mike was able to exchange a few words with him in French. Mike speaks a little French, and this guy spoke a little French, but he spoke mainly Romanian and also German. And he a couple times went on about Hitler, sort of praising what Hitler did. And we were staying in his house.
Mm.
So yeah, it was an uneasy situation.
So does that bring out a different type of work compared to a more comfortable traditional travel arrangement would?
I think so, and I think a couple times in these songs I sort of address it, and it's this. I have 10 CDs now, and this was the first time that I explicitly addressed my Jewish identity in my work, which was an interesting experience to do, and I'm kind of glad that I did. It was an opportunity to sort of explore that identity.
Does it change it in any way? Does it strengthen it in any way?
Well, I think anytime that we express vulnerability, which I feel that is, I think it's a strengthening, and which is kind of a paradox. But I think that by addressing that and putting it out there in a way that is a little bit uncomfortable, because there is so much anti-Semitism in the world, and it's not something that before I might have been comfortable advertising or putting out there. I think by that act of vulnerability, actually. It feels good. It feels like a good thing to put out. Yeah.
As you mentioned, it was, what, 10 albums, and you've never explored it before. What do you go into in a project? I mean, this one it came out of the trip. Is it ever conscious? I mean, is it always on the horizon of, okay, I'm working on something next, or is it a very deliberate function of saying, yes, now I'm going to work on this, and then I will be done, and then I will work on that?
Oh, I mean, at any given time, I have half a dozen different projects sort of either at various points on my horizon. There are probably 6 different things, or 7 or 8 or 5 that I'm working on right now, and I'm not sure which will come out first or which one will suddenly take priority. The Romania songs, this particular album, like I said, you know, it just kind of, these songs sort of came out in a rush and almost kind of wrote themselves. So it was very easy to go into the studio and record them once they were done.
Does performance ever get in the way of creativity, of the singing, of the songwriting, of the music, of the creation?
When you say performance, do you mean live performance in front of an audience or performance?
Yeah, I mean in the fact of a schedule of I'm going to be here, I'm going to be there, I'm going to go there, and you say, the rest of it sort of goes off, or is that all just, it's all intermingles?
I mean, it's all kind of intermingled. I think of every single, or I try to think of every facet that I do as being of service in some way, because it helps me to get my ego out of there. So I feel that if I'm out performing, I'm helping provide a service. There's an experience that I'm helping to facilitate in which there's a community that gets created, even if it's for only a couple of hours. And I think that live performance is so important, and our opportunities for being together in the same space in the same time are becoming increasingly rare. So I find that to be very important. But I also find that putting my personal, intimate, quirky thoughts out there in musical form in terms of recording and songwriting, I find that to be a kind of service too, because it tells other people that it's okay to do that, and I think that we need to be creative in our lives.
I just realized that early on in our conversation, I made an assumption, and perhaps it's one I shouldn't have made, but that was that following the trip, you went your way to create the songs, and Michael went his way to write and to work on the photographs. Or was there a collaboration? Did you go off, do your work, and then come back and collaborate, or was there constant collaboration?
No, we went, you were right the first time. We went our separate ways. Mike went back to New Mexico where he lives in the hills of New Mexico, and he started working on his book, and I came back to Brooklyn and eventually went on to write and record these songs. And we did them separately. We released them separately at different times. And this show that we're doing together is, this is the not the first time that we've done it, but when we do the show, it's our opportunity to come back together again.
Right. Gives you that chance to catch up and have fun, I would assume.
Yeah, it's really great.
No Further Instructions, a performance by Howard Fishman with New York Times travel journalist and photographer Michael Beninov, gets underway at 8 o'clock Friday night at the Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College. You can go to skidmore.edu for more information. Skidmore.edu for more information. Howard also will be performing at the Hudson Opera House on the 2nd of March and at the Falcon on the 3rd. His website is howardfishman.com. Howardfishman.com. Howard, good to have you in town. Thank you very much and best of luck.
Joe, thank you so much for having me. And I should also just be clear that the Hudson show and the Falcon show are me with a stripped-down quartet, and just me. Mike will not be on those shows. So the No Further Instructions show is the one at Skidmore on Friday night, and then Saturday and Sunday in Hudson and Marlboro will be me with my quartet.
You can find out all that information at howardfishman.com. Howard, a great pleasure. Thank you very much.
Likewise, Joe. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Better here in Romania. And though there's no sunshine and everything's gray, we're driving through fog, but we like it that way. 'Cause anything's better than where we've come from. The future is unknown, and that's half the fun in Romania.